Well, are we embracing winter now? Just get your arms right around winter and give winter a great big hug. Well, it sure felt like it was here today. I'm going to read something that I've kind of read before, and the reason is it's like the Lord is just speaking to my heart and just saying, I want to make sure my people get everything that I have for them. Everything. And this is a process we're kind of going through, is we're learning how to receive more of God by faith. Trying to get out of the flesh and more into the Spirit and trying to understand that process. And the good thing about that is we don't have to do it alone. The Bible says we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and He is our teacher. And so all you have to say is, I'm going to school. You know, I'm going to learn more. I'm going to understand these things better. Somebody was telling me some problem, and I think a very good thing to say for somebody that maybe doesn't get the exposure to the teaching we get, where, you know, the teaching we get is heavy, we need to trust the Lord. You need to trust the Lord in everything. And, you know, we talk about a lot of faith scriptures that help build us up and show us it's God's will for, basically, it says in, I think it's 2 Peter 1:2 or 1 Peter 1:2, it says, God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that's His plan. That's His vision for us, you know, to help us in these areas. So Pastor Gary wrote this at the beginning of the year, and guess what? It's still 2016. It's not 2017 yet. And he wrote, I don't know if this was a prophecy or just it's the Lord impressed on his heart that this was for the Harvest Point Church. And it seems like every church I've been in over the past 30-some years, you know, the pastors have gotten some things from the Lord, like tell the flock these things, not as like doctrine, but as encouragement, you know, because that's what pastors are. One of the main roles is to encourage and to exhort and to help. So Pastor Gary wrote, 2016 shall be the year of recovery. Remember, we got 1 year, 1 month left here. 2016 shall be a year of restoration. Jesus wants to see every part of our lives restored. You know, here's where we're at, but here's God's reality for us. And the Word of God says to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. And this is what I wanted to say to encourage people to say this, that may not come in, even maybe if they're non-Christians, you could tell them to say this. When you're frustrated, say, just say to God, God, you're helping me. Thank you for helping me. And it's such a simple statement, and there isn't a lot of doctrine involved with it, like per se, but there's a lot of doctrine involved with it, because you're saying that God's a good God and that He's willing to reach out to you and to give you a helping hand. So 2016 shall be a year of rest. Those are things I have to remind myself. I'm going to rest in the Lord today. 2016 shall be a year of revival. You know, and it has. And it will be going forward too. 2016 shall be a year of preparation that will lead up to the Pentecost of 2017, the spiritual birthday of the church and a spiritual turning point for the world. Therefore, Pastor Gary encouraged us to speak recovery, believe restoration, seek rest, live revival. You know, revival is when Jesus tells you to do something and you do it. That's revival in the most simplest form. And it, for me, it's like little steps every day. Just not getting angry. Speaking a word of encouragement instead of a word of complaint. You know, I know it. You know, for your lights will burn brighter in 2016 as the light of Jesus Christ reflects the glory from your faces. And the kingdom of God will advance, and the darkness and deceitfulness of the world will be driven back and exposed by revealed truths. I'm just kind of laughing a little bit because I read this in February, and now 2016 is like, where did it go? It just seemed like we went from February to November, and everything kind of disappeared in the middle, but it didn't. We move forward this year. You know, when we're in the, when we're part of God's family and we're participating with the Lord's plan, you know, going to church, reading the Word of God, praying, you know, the Holy Spirit is actively working in our lives and showing us things, you know, and giving us better lives, giving us understanding to help us. Every footstep you take will be a conquering footstep and will leave an anointed footprint behind. You know, I've learned in my Christian walk that just saying words doesn't make them happen. But believing and trusting in the Lord that the things He's said for my life will take place and take root, that's when those things happen. You say, I trust you in this situation. I don't know how it's going to come out to my advantage. And it's really not our responsibility to know. Our responsibility is just to look to the Lord and to do the things He's called us to do. And He'll make the other things line up in our lives. Because some of us have big plans. Some of us, God has put big things in your heart. He's exploding those things in your life. And you're saying, I don't know how all this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to do this, you know, because this looks so difficult. My life is so complicated. I've got so many things encroaching in on my life. But the Lord will show you how those plans can be expanded in your life. Words of faith, hope, and love shall usher in recovery, restoration, rest, and revival. But be warned and be careful. Words of bitterness can flavor the entire year. In Deuteronomy 28, the first 15 verses talk about blessings, 14 or 15 verses. The rest of the chapter, probably like 40 verses plus, talk about the curses. And right in the middle of there is a gem that says, because you did not worship the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness in your heart, all these negative things came upon the children of Israel. Well, first of all, let me say that for the believer, God removed the curse. Because it says, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I mean, that's good news right there. We're no longer walking in a cursed position as a child of God. Hallelujah. That's like shouting ground. We are not the cursed of the earth. We're the blessed of the Lord. But he put that gem in there saying, and the Holy Spirit reminds me every now and then that I need to be thankful and joyful for the abundance of good things. Man, my silverware drawer is overflowing. I've got 2 tons of wood pellets for burning on a wood stove. So God is overflowing. Sadly, okay, forgiveness has always been and always will be the key. Boy, what you just said earlier about being pardoned. You know, sometimes I try to stay away from making judgments, but sometimes they do creep in. And it's like, wow, I'm pardoned. You know, we need to live and bless people as though they're pardoned. And show them the goodness of the Lord. Because we experience it all the time. We know the goodness of the Lord. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. All of us have done that. And we're continually doing that. He wants us to do that. So, it says, sadly, some will know the truth and will continue with their attitudes and their ways and not reap the enjoyment of the benefits that 2016 is offering. You know, and any part of your life where you feel like you haven't gone forward with the Lord like you should, the Bible says to ask the Lord forgiveness and just continue to go on. You know, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. You know, acknowledging your shortcomings is a sign of humility. As you're saying, Lord, I missed it. You know, only a fool would continue, and I've been in the position where I continue walking and I'm saying everything is okay when it isn't. And then the Holy Spirit shows me what a ridiculous position I'm in, and it quickly gets turned around. You know, that's the Lord's compassion for us. Others will act on the truth and be freer than they have ever been before. I'm offering you the grace of these words. Receive these words of encouragement. There is only one year that you can call 2016, set in history of man. Live and love it. So, better be praying, Pastor Gary. I want to get something good for 2017, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to be reading from John 14. Gospel of John. I like John because John and his books of John, his letters, his epistles, John wrote these at the very end of his life. Like decades, 50, probably 50 plus years after he saw Jesus rose from the dead. And do you know something? He lived his whole life and his testimony never changed. Because when you see the living Christ, you're changed. Because you got something you never got before. You became a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. New things came inside of you. That new thing is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives and abides in us. So, John was that disciple. And since he wrote his own book, you know, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, he said in many places that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. So it makes it sound like he's Jesus' favorite, which is kind of interesting. But that's the relationship that he had with the Lord. He always wanted to be close to the Lord. And that's kind of imparted to us when we're in worship, because the Holy Spirit just kind of invites us in and we feel like his presence so close to us. You know, that's real. You know, he's giving us a taste of what heaven's going to be like. Wow. Just a taste. You ever get you're like really hungry and it's Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, and somebody gives you a taste of something? It's like, oh, that is so good. You know, and that's what worship feels like every time I come in here. It's like, you know, because the worship team have hearts to worship the Lord. They're not up there worshiping themselves. They're focused on, I want to bless you, Jesus. So thank you, because it helps me. So verse 1, John says, he's writing about what Jesus said. This is close to the, this is kind of the Last Supper section of the book. And Jesus is sharing things with his disciples. Might be a few other people there. The scriptures don't really reveal that, but we know his disciples were there. And he says, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." So right off the bat, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled about what's happening in the world. Don't let your hearts be troubled because your bank account may say zero. You know, don't let your heart be troubled because something happens, you know, or somebody turns on you. You know, Jesus is saying something very important. He wants the fear to be out of our lives. He doesn't want us to be afraid of circumstances and situations. You know, there's so much in this. He's trying to impart this to his disciples before the cross, before they had the Holy Spirit living inside of them, before they had that they were a new creation in Christ. Okay, we're looking at it from the back, after it all happened. We are new creations in Christ. You know, we have the Spirit that sets us free. So when he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, for us, he calls us kings and priests unto our God. You know, that's just not when we go to heaven. That's who we are today. That's who he's made us. We are not, like if I walk up to Austin and say, I'm really important, you better listen to me. You know, just because I say those words doesn't mean that I am important. But if the Lord of the universe has put inside me the Holy Spirit and he's called me a king and a priest, I am very important to him. You know, what kind of cost did it take to bring me to that position? Only the gift of his Son dying on the cross for my sins. Only his resurrection from the dead and victory that brought victory into my lives. Talking about pardon. We have been pardoned. And now he calls us to live at a different level. We need to live, let me see if I get this right. We need to live and do things that represent who we are. We can't be living our lives and doing things that reflect our old lives and who we were. We're people of God, and he's called us. That's amazing that the God of the universe would call us and call us friends and call us accepted into the beloved. Wow! That is like really good news for us. So Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear. And I tell you, sometimes the devil is scary because it says he is a roaring lion. He goes about as a roaring lion. Sometimes our flesh just doesn't like what it comes in contact in the world system. But this is where we're learning by the Holy Spirit to walk by faith and not by sight. Because when the evil comes, when the bad news comes, our hope is in the Lord. And that's where we're learning to look and to put our hearts on. And we can acknowledge and say, this situation is not reality in my life. Because God has a different plan for me. And many times fear is you're afraid of something that might happen. It didn't happen. Fear is being afraid of something that might happen. Well, faith is believing in something that will happen. You know, that's the rock we stand on. Jesus calls himself the rock, and the word of God will never fail. See, we are in an awesome place, saints, because we are looking ahead of us, and we are encouraged that the time of the coming of the Lord is near. How near that is, Pastor Gary will tell you tomorrow in the End Times update. But we are so encouraged. It's like when you get up in the morning and you see that beautiful red coming up over the horizon, and you're just like expecting, like, wow, that sun is just going to pop up, and it's just going to get better from that point on. That's where we're at. It's just going to get better from this point on. You know, does that, you know, I want to encourage everybody in here, because we are tested, we are tried, and it's not God trying to cause us to be defeated. It's God trying to cause us to have the victory in every aspect of our life. He sees it already, and he's trying to build it in our hearts so we know it in here. And he's doing a good job of that. You know, I know, because I'm growing in the Lord, and I see most of you in here, and I know you're growing in the Lord. And every time I talk to you, it seems like you have good things to say about the Lord and what he's doing in your life. So God is just so good in that area. But he says he is going to prepare a place for us. What do you think your place is going to look like? Pretty glorious. Yeah. Whatever Jesus does for us is going to be a good thing. So, I mean, I'm not thinking about that. Maybe I should be thinking more about my heavenly home, you know. And I do, but I don't want to dwell on it too much, because I feel like the Lord's saying we got some work to do. Let's roll up our sleeves and do the things God's called you to do. And I think that's why I'm reading this scripture tonight, is sometimes fear puts that blocker, like, I can't do it. You know, one scripture that somehow got in my heart early on was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I just went through college, not Bible school college, but just secular college, and I'm going to do my student teaching, and my friend says, if you want a job, in the district you're going to go to, if you want a job quickly, ask for the area that has the kids that have, they're the poorest of all the districts, and ask for junior high. So that's what I did. Am I out of my mind? But I went in there, and I could tell you, like every day, it was like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, I was worried. But that scripture encouraged me so much. You know, and God worked. You know, it wasn't like everything was all peachy keen the first day. Sometimes it takes like a couple weeks to kind of work in some discipline and work in some love, and you know, they finally kind of get it, and they kind of start appreciating what you're doing. But fear, God wants that fear out of our lives so that we can fulfill God's full plan in our lives. That's the thing. He wants us to fulfill that whole plan in our lives. Get the fear out. How do you do that? You know, I think one thing that helped me was I meditated on scriptures that talked about fear and how God delivered me from fear. and that kindness. And I would say those scriptures, you know, quite frequently, especially before class. Yeah, one time this teacher, you know, God blessed me to be able to actually get paid while I did my student teaching. And that's quite unusual, I know. But this teacher asked me to fill in for her in her 9th month of pregnancy, like for a whole month, junior high. Like, and her class was like filled with like 30 kids, 30 plus kids. Maybe 30 kids, but it was a lot of kids. And they're Hispanic for the most part, and they're in a Spanish 1 class. Of course, you know, I never really took that much Spanish in high school. So I told her that. She says, "You want me to teach Spanish, and I really don't even know Spanish." But she wanted me to do that. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm crazy, though. But it worked out. It really worked out. And by the end of the school year, the 30 days, you know, a number of kids came up to me and said, "We really appreciate you, Mr. Leapins. You know, we're really going to miss you." And it's like, wow. But sometimes the fear is there, and you just learn to kind of walk through it. It's just almost like a curtain in a way. I mean, have you ever had a curtain try and stop you? I mean, it's like the devil goes about as a roaring lion. So the devil would want you to see that curtain as a solid brick wall that you can't penetrate. But it's just a curtain. You know, if God's called you to do something, oftentimes that fear will be there and be kind of on the surface. But if you walk through that and start doing, sometimes it's not so much now, but when I first started teaching, I was afraid in a way. I mean, my flesh was kind of afraid. I knew what the Lord wanted me to do, but it's like as soon as I started reading the Word of God and teaching, it's like the Holy Spirit kicks in. It's like those old type of pumps that you had to pour water down and do the lever. Like the young people are like, of course there's no, yeah, they're all young people. Before I get in trouble here. You had to like put that water in and push that pump down and get that water to come out. Well, sometimes that's just the way it works with me is, you know, if I take the steps and start speaking and start talking, the Holy Spirit, you know, starts giving me the answers and the direction to go. And oftentimes, you know, that fear will be right there. Just walk through it and just start doing what you know you should do, and the Holy Spirit will help you. I mean, you have to realize that whatever is going to happen in a miraculous way or a powerful way, it's God doing it anyway. It's not really you. I mean, you're a vessel that carries the Lord, and you might say words that are from the Lord, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings the power and breaks that bondage into people's lives. So get the fear out. Hallelujah. And that was my introduction. Now, do I at least get to read a closing scripture? Okay. All right. 1 John 5. I really like this scripture too. 1 John 5, verse 13. John is writing, and he says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." How many of you believe in the name of the Son of God? Hallelujah. I didn't ask you to raise your hands, but praise the Lord. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that a good, isn't God good? That he would let us know way before we die that we're going to be with him in heaven. We have eternal life. It's already a done thing. It's nothing we have to work and to earn. It's just believing in the blood of the Son of God that covers our sins. And we said, Lord, we accept that. We accept what you did on the cross. In fact, we embrace it. That's where we get our pardon. Verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Who are the people in your life that can walk up to you and ask you for anything and you'd give it to them? Yeah. Any of your kids? Hey, I'm hungry. I want a Twizzler. pick me up. You know, read me a story. Like to see a movie. You know, anything that they ask, it seems like within reason, you know, we give it to them. You know, so that relationship are the people that are closest to us that we can expect that type of thing. Okay. That's our relationship with the Lord. You know, he says, this is the confidence that if we ask anything, let me read this. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Hallelujah. You're just that close to the Lord. You're just that special to him. He just loves us. He loves us all that closely that we can go to him and say, Father, what about this situation? Well, what does the word say? The word says, I should forgive him and pray for him. Well, what about this situation? Bible says that give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. What about this situation? Well, my word says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. So whatever his will is, we can find it out in his word. It's not a mystery. But it's just like we're just that close to him. A friend doesn't really wrap the meaning about our relationship with the Lord. You know, we're his children. He calls us, we're his children. I mean, we're friends, but we're his kids. So. Well, that was my closing scripture. Let me just encourage you real quick. Did you want to say anything, Pastor Gary? But let me finish real quick. I just want to encourage every one of you. You know, 2016, the Word of God says that we're to redeem the time. You know, that God's not telling us to do more. God's telling us just to do the things he's told us to do. You know, it's like, I'm just talking about myself. I'm not talking about anybody else. Okay, so the Lord tells me, I should read the Word of God. But let's say instead I watch TV, you know, for an hour or whatever. But he tells me to read the Word of God. Well, he's not telling me to do more. He's just telling me in that time period what to do. You know, I'm making it more. Like if I have to watch that that TV program for an hour, and I feel like I want the Lord. The Lord wants me to study for an hour. Now I've added something into my day that really wasn't there before. And oftentimes that's how our days get packed full, because in the moments we're supposed to be doing things, we're doing other things. Oh me, how do I get back in this line? I'm supposed to be closing. But I just encourage you just to simply do what the Lord asks you to do on a daily basis. And if you miss it, don't go, well, I didn't pray the last 5 days. I got to make it all up on this one day. Just let it all go. Just every day's a new day. Every day is a fresh day. And with 2017 approaching, it's the exciting days are ahead of us. Even the rest of 2016. Exciting days, because the Lord is moving on the earth and he's working with the people of God that say yes to him. Yes. Well, you might say, well, I'm like nobody. You are a child of the Lord. You're very precious to him. And if all, like they told us this in Bible school, you know, we're all chomping at the bit to get out there and to preach the gospel to people. And one of the ministers said to us, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, this is where the Lord wanted you to be at this point in time. He wanted you learning and growing and becoming more like him. And if that's where the Lord has you, praise the Lord. I mean, there's things you do, there, your presence, your prayers, the things you do are all very important to the Lord. So I'm not quite sure where I should stop, so I'm going to turn it over to you.
Fear is a curtain, not a wall. Push through it. Did that free anybody up today? Is that way cool? And I like about the kids get what they ask for. Then I was thinking, when I was 8, I asked for a hatchet and a knife and all that and a bow and arrow. And they were made out of rubber. The hatchets are like, you know, a cane handle with all the Indian stuff on. But they were rubber. And then when I got to age maybe 12 or 13, I got a Boy Scout knife. And then when I was like 16, I got a hunting knife. And I realized I got what I asked for, but God took me through the rubber knife stage out of the Boy Scout and on the rest of it, because I don't know if I could was prepared for that, but he'll take us through those steps too as well. It's a good thing probably I didn't jump ahead of all that, but what that freed me up tonight, that just it hit me so powerful, that fear is a curtain, not a wall. Push right through it. How wonderful. How wonderful. That's a word from the Lord when Jeff says, how important is it when God himself speaks through you? That helps. Praise God. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us. We bless you tonight. And thank you, Jesus Christ, for your example. You pushed through every curtain. God, you ripped that curtain that was the veil from the top to the bottom and opened a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.